So now I'd like to elaborate and paraphrase certain insights into this period of Elul, which is known as an Eitz Ratzon, a time of special favor. What's the concept that there are different times? We know there are seasons in nature. And there are also seasons, similarly, in spiritual influences. And the whole concept of having different times is done for our sake, that we should know how to use everything that's around us, including the changing of times, for the service of Hashem. And there are two reasons for this. In values of life, a person is not able to do everything at once. If he does different types of avodah, implies also in work, the result is that it's not complete. One type of work will disturb the other type of work. Even more so, this applies in spiritual progress of a person's character. That one aspect can weaken a different aspect. That's why there are special times dedicated to special purposes. That's one concept. The second concept is that repetitive situations, they destroy the concept of novelty, and therefore any spiritual impact in life or moral impact in life becomes weakened if it's transformed into routine, day after day the same. And that one requires a rhythm throughout the year to create a concept of inner renewal. It says this is what's described when it says in the first chapter of the Chumash, Hashem, he brought the different light-giving bodies. Says, "Yulim rot brikia shemayim lahi al aretz, u'shav bayom v'layla, v'yu lemuadim." There'll be for special meeting times between Hashem and mankind, and this is an important principle in understanding the service of Hashem. Now I think this is even expressed in the Hebrew word for a year. How would you say a year in Hebrew?
Shana.
Shana. So Shana means two things. It means to repeat. Shanot means to repeat. Sheni. Two things. Not the first time, the second time. Carrying on. Repeating. But it also means to change. In other words, time is not considered just like a cycle where everything is constantly repeated, but it should be more like a spiral. In a spiral, it's also a cycle, but a cycle in which you go either up or down on the spiral. So there is a constant change as well as a constant repetition. That's really how it is in nature as well. When you know the age of a tree, you see how many times it's got rings. So there's a change each year, although it works according to a cycle. We have a cycle in everything, we have a rhythm, a cycle, in times of sleep, in times of activity, or you're wide awake. In fact, every person has got a type of inner biological cycle. Prior to digestion, prior to sleep patterns. And it can become a routine. The essence of the Torah is Achodesh Azeh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim. That's the first parsha given over to Am Yisrael. It's a concept of Chidush. Don't just regard the monthly cycle as being just repetitive. It's got to be something new, create a spirit of newness. So, then you were following inside, you follow the Hebrew inside. The next paragraph, unless you have questions on this. It brings from the Zohar that there are times when the world seems to be subject to din, to strict justice. It's a time of dina. It's a time of rava. Rava is the Aramaic for ratzon. There are other times that are times of divine favor. Now you tell me why is Elul is known as Eit Ratzon, a time of divine favor. I mean, the times in the calendar, Rabbi Hirsch in his time used to say that the catechism of the Jew is the calendar. You know, in the Christian world, what's the catechism? It's the calendar. Because the Jewish calendar, the festivals and the seasons, they represent moral and spiritual lessons. Many of them go back to the birth of the people of Israel. So what was special about the month of Elul?
Before creation.
Moshe had the second tablet.
The second tablet of stone. The 40 days from the first of Elul. Yom Kippur were the 40 days in which Hashem gave over to Moshe the second Luchot. Together with perhaps on a different level, the vitality of the oral tradition. It's also given to them. But the basic aspect that already been given before they were given, when the people of Israel had received the Aseret HaDibrot and had said, Na'aseh V'nishma, and they were apparently filled with the desire to become Amulechet Kohanim B'Koy Kadosh. Then when they fell from that level, to the extent that Hashem was going to give them up, and say, just like Hashem, you look at it simply, he hoped that Adam HaRishon would be on the highest level, all his descendants would be on a very high level of living a life in which there would be no destruction. No Baal Tashvis in the Garden of Eden, which was the aspect of human life which was expected when that dropped. So then mankind went further and further down, and then he hoped with Noah that this was now a new covenant and that mankind would be on the highest level. Then he saw mankind to go down again. Only Avraham Avinu, he saw in him the potential to change the world. He would become the teacher of mankind through his descendants. And then it turned out the descendants were Am Yisrael. And now when they sinned, the voice of the golden calf, Hashem said, I'm giving them up. But through the great personality of Moshe Rabbeinu, and also the Moshe mentioned, the impact of the Chilul Hashem, so Hashem gave us a second chance. So the concept of Eru is to give a second chance, which is favor, Ratzon, to produce Ratzon. That's what the Zohar says. There's a time for Ratzon. On that it says, Shalom Eit L'chol Chepetz. There is also a time for desires, which is Eit Ratzon. It says, Dirush Hashem B'motzo'o, which is Tzorkav, seek for Hashem when He makes Himself easy to be found. It's in the time of divine favor. It says, you can't come at all times to the highest level of holiness. There are other times of din, when if you try to come near, fortunately, one is faced with hiddenness of Hashem. But Elul is the time of Eitz Ratzon. We know in the prayers for Yom Tov, we say that Atah b'chartanu mikol ha'amim. When was that? We've chosen that from all the nations.
Yom HaMeyuchas.
So many said that the Bechir of Am Yisrael was shown the exodus from Egypt. They are like the firstborn of all the nations. It's concept of Bechor, the Bindi Bechor in Israel. So Hashem, as the word shows us, because after all, Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak and Yaakov, they chose Hashem to follow Him. So Hashem chose the people of Israel on Pesach. Ahavta otanon, and then Hashem demonstrated love to us when He gave us the Torah. That's Ahavta otanon. This goes even to the customs we have today of a chuppah, which contains many hints to the giving of the Torah. But when the Torah was given, this was like the bond of love between Hashem and the people of Israel. L'chatzita banu, and You favored us. So what's the favor? What's it mean to favor? We find the word ratzon, in fact, it has more meaning than the simple word favor. Because the word ratzon is also ritzoi. What's ritzoi mean?
The will.
It's the will, yeah, but it's more than the will. It refers, it says in the service of the Beit HaMikdash, many aspects of it produce ritzoi. If a person has done a sin, it says, he brought a sin offering, and then Hashem was willing to forgive. It's the willingness to forgive is contained in the word ratzon. So which is greater, ahava, which is original love, or ratzon, the willingness to forgive? We can give an example, for example, in between a husband and wife, when they get married, the marriage is based upon love. And then sometimes one of the spouses does something wrong to the other, the argument. So the one that's been wrong says, no, we can't carry on like this. But if the spouse that has done something evil to the soulmate, they ask for forgiveness, they forgive one another. That's called ritzui. Ritzui is to appease. It lies in all the aspects of life. This word is used in Hebrew. If any person does something wrong to somebody else, we say, go and get forgiveness. And that forgiveness is called ritzui, the same root. The ratzon is to continue the bond of love, even if there's been wrongs done from one to the other. So also, when we as a people, we wronged Hashem by taking the golden calf, Hashem was ready to forgive us. And that's represented by the 40-year period from the first of Elul to Yom Kippur. As we explained already, 40 years always is the 40 days, 40 years, 40 is the concept of 40 days shel yitzirat havlad, creates a new birth, a rebirth. The rebirth comes in the eighth ratzon. The eighth ratzon is these 40 days. Now, so he asks the Lama in the second sentence, say, why does Hashem Yitbarach make certain limitations to particular times? Why is it we do find times of compassion, times of coming near to Hashem, and great spiritual fortunes that come upon us? And then we do find other times, mani din, which at times the limitation of divine influence. You find this in a larger scale in the history of our nation. We've had times of enormous fortune as a nation. Time Shlomo HaMelech was marvelous, fantastic. How not only was there great material blessing, the Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael became a center of commerce and a place of great economic development, political development, good relationships with the nations around, and also with enormous spiritual wealth. They came from all over the world to go and benefit from the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech. And unfortunately, later on came the splitting of the kingdom, times of great difficulty. There came the Galut. First Galut. Then there was again time of Ratzon. And then second Galut. And now a time as well. We've had most terrible periods of Hester Panim, the hiddenness of the face of Hashem, reaching its worst level in the Holocaust. And then we had the eighth Ratzon. Seemed a great eighth ratzon. When the nation of the world agreed, international agreement, and even the Arabs were, to some extent, accepting the fact that Israel could be a benefit to the whole Middle East. Now it's a rather critical situation. But this, we see there are times in our national existence of Hester Panim, of Din, times of Rachamim. So it says in the holy books that this is the concept of the specific midot that Hashem has put into creation. Special measure, different types of measurement, different types of qualities that he brings into his relationship with man. In order that human beings would always have a power of choice. Because this is the challenge given to individuals, to groups of mankind, and to nations, and to the whole world. To give us constant challenges, either through the powers of fortune, and if fortune often contains hazards we don't use in the right way, then he teaches us lessons through misfortune, which ultimately also brings to the right level. And the different times are the various channels that Hashem uses to help us to develop our level of Bechira. There's a person who needs to have different tests and challenges. Otherwise, he vegetates. So, he says, for example, that a person shouldn't fall too low, because sometimes a person falls so low that he feels there's no hope left in his life. So then he gives him times of favor. The entrance for the good, like Am Yisrael also felt it's finished. Then Hashem says, no, you can change. So Hashem brings himself near to man, to the individual, to the world, to Am Yisrael. And if the one who's falling strengthens himself, then it goes up again. And sometimes a person reaches the highest level and clings to Hashem, and then he's so close that he now has no challenges anymore. So Hashem gives him challenges. That he shouldn't think, now I can rest on my laurels. There's nothing further for me to do. The truth is, this takes place also in the lives of individuals. If a person who works himself up to a very high level in something, then he goes, well, it's easy for me. He doesn't have tests. Hashem tests him. He should always have, throughout his life, have abilities of choosing, of developing his own inner self through the power of Bechira. So, So therefore, the whole purpose of a person's life in this world is to use the power of freedom of choice, which is the true work of the human being, where he can do something himself. Otherwise he just, as it were, stands still. So sometimes it's necessary that Hashem will test the saints by bringing them obstacles. In other words, life is not just a smooth path. Life is an obstacle race. And the obstacles, according to the way which Hashem measures the talents and the potential is given to individuals, to the nation. And this is done in order to give them the opportunity to further situation the freedom of choice, as a result of which he can reach a higher level. And that's how you find the great saints, like Abraham Avinu, given the most severe tests. Moshe Rabbeinu also, on his level. On the other hand, Hashem often realizes there are situations where he's got to give help, that saints shouldn't fall. So he gives them more help, they should be able to face the challenges. And especially when people have fallen to the lowest level. So this is what we face in life constantly. You have any questions?
Yeah. Well, the terms obstacle race, like, I don't see where it's a race. I see you're trying to get from the beginning of the bridge to the end of the bridge, and it's very narrow, and you can make a mistake and fall off, and you can never come back. Well, you can almost slip, but get yourself back going. So the term race, I have difficulty with it.
Okay, I said that. You don't have to call it a race, you're quite right. Because the truth is, you can't follow the challenges of choosing the right path if there's too much haste, too much rushing. You've got to always consider which is the right path for me to take in life when I'm faced with difficulties.
Maybe you mean to say obstacle course.
Yes, that's a better phrase. Obstacle course, yeah.
You're going through a minefield. You have to be careful.
What?
It's like walking into a minefield, you have to watch the signs.
Yes. Yeah. Now in the evening prayer we say Hashem is God at Omit Nechoshev. Nechoshev, he rose the light in front of the darkness. And after darkness he rose over to bring us light. Umave Yom Umave Laila, he passes over the day and brings the night. Umavdil ben Yom Laila, he separates between the day and the night. So we know there are different changes that take place in light and darkness, between day and night. But the way in mitzvot we find this has significance. We have to say Kriyat Shema at night and Kriyat Shema in the day. Shoch b'chal v'kumecha. You feel all the midrashim and the commentators already say that it's not just a question of an automatic fashion, Tishma at night, Tishma in the day. So the question is, it two mitzvahs or one mitzvah? It's repeated. They say, no, it represents also in life, we have times which for us are shine like the day. They're filled with enlightenment, delight. And there are other times which are sad and which are dark and miserable. That's the concept, that is the deeper concept of night and day. In all our lives we have constant changes. There are situations which just bring us to feel depressed, and there are other situations where we feel euphoric and filled with joy. And same applies also to Am Yisrael. With times of the deepest darkness, with times of the greatest exaltation. He says, but this concept, the night and day, is not only the material world, it's also spiritually speaking. It's called in the mystical writings, Gadlut HaMochin, VeKatnut HaMochin. The mind is sometimes on a very high level, sometimes on a low level. I mean, this can be measured also. These days one can measure when the emotional intelligence and even also the logical intelligent person is very wide awake and working at a high level. And sometimes it's at a low level. So this is the way which Hashem leads individual, leads the whole creation. He says there are different changeovers. There's Golel to roll one into the other, to roll gradually into the other. The changes are gradual. Then there's Ma'avir. It's as though all aspects of darkness are taken away and light takes its place. Umavdil. Sometimes there are separations. One is cut off. A person in the night can be cut off entirely from the light, and vice versa. These are all different ways which give the human being power of choice. So you said in choosing virtue, those are three ways. So it gives a more detailed description. Golel HaChoshech. It's you roll up the darkness on account of the light that's about to come. Suppose there's a more gradual process to remove the powers of sin, step by step. Give a practical example. A person, let's say, who's got certain bad habits. So one of the ways to remove the bad habit is step by step. It's got great advantages. Not to do it all at once. If you do it all at once, then you'll fall often you fall back, you have relapses. Change back, and as we should reach instability. And then the bad habit really breaks up your life. Underneath, you know it's not good. All the time you go in the opposite direction, in one go, and then you swing like a pendulum from one to the other. I think we all see this in our weak points. That if you try to get rid of the weak point, go in the opposite direction all of a sudden, then you fall back. You do it step by step, then you're more sure. Do it a little bit, every day. Decrease your particular, if you've got a partial addiction to something. So, increase it bit by bit. That's how you can remove the addiction. Usually addiction, we all have certain habits which we know they weaken us in different ways. So the way to do it is bit by bit. But there are sometimes situations where it's difficult. We've got like, to some extent, burn our bridges behind us. And these are certainly two types of procedures which you find in the Tshuva movement. But some say, well, the only way I can remove myself from my previous lifestyle, I'm going to change myself in one go. Because I do it bit by bit, I'm always still attached to the previous lifestyle. Therefore, throw myself into a different world, a different place, a different lifestyle, that's how I change. Many people, in certain circumstances, that's the way they've succeeded. Well known that sometimes, I mean, it's even a saying, it's risky, but the person who wants to change himself, let's say a person has been entirely in a permissive environment, and he followed many promiscuous and permissive lifestyles, and now realizes it's wrong, but it had a big impact upon him, so I was going to change it. So therefore, sometimes, they use the phrase, you've got to break them in order to make them. You've got to break these habits, you've got to break yourself away. That's the habit, to remove the darkness entirely in front of the light. And sometimes, Havdalat HaChoshech would say to nullify it altogether. We separate ourselves entirely from it, that nothing of it should be left in our domain. This is the concept that's on Pesach, where we mustn't have even a small bit of chometz. This represents the change that Am Yisrael had to go through from the 49 gates in purity in Egypt. And the Chazal say they dropped right to the lowest level. So to get out of it, out of the tomb of Mitzrayim, they had this way, have a complete break for a time from chometz, which was the power of the Yetzara, power of immorality, and also the enormous arrogance of the Egyptians. So that had to be burned up. You burn it, then later on, once you get into the lifestyle of Torah, then with the Shavuos, on Shavuos, the offering had to be a chometz. As you got to reach, then first they had to get rid of chometz altogether. And then they had to work day after day, had to use both methods, day after day to improve their character. On Shavuos, they could still use their instincts, the sexual instinct, or the instinct for the self, for the the inner self-esteem which a person has to have, and they have to use that self-esteem to use it in Vayikva Libo B'Darcha Hashem, in feeling the pride of receiving the Torah. With that, there was a mitzvah, Davkatav Chomitz. The offering of Shavuos is the offering of Chomitz. That's an illustration also in life, something one has to do now. You got any questions?
Could you say that between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're giving a third chance before the final decree?
Yeah.
It's really three chances.
Yes, connect with it. Yeah. Now, my son Rav Avrom, if you're interested, I don't know what your program is now exactly, it's not worked out for everybody, but she was due to leave last night, but we've got another day here, so if you would like, we'll give another cheer, if you're interested, if you want to attend. Who's interested, put up your hands.
What time?
Now. Yeah? Interested?
Yeah. Kim was also interested. What was your...
Okay. No, let me give you a shot.